So we are at the end of our journey through Genesis, the story of Joseph. And a quick recap on where we're up to. Joseph's whole family had been reunited with him in Egypt. The famine that was prophesied, foretold through Joseph's dreams have really taken hold throughout the land. But the God-inspired forward planning that Joseph has put in place has meant that there's still food for everyone to eat. Now, the brother's father, Jacob, has died, and we pick up the story after his burial and following some time of mourning. So if we could go to the reading, please. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 50, starting verse 15, if you've got your Bibles and you wish to follow. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Let's pray once more, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth that is just all throughout the whole of your scriptures. Lord, would you reveal some of those truths to us this morning? Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I wonder, what is your view of God's plan for humanity and for you individually, and maybe even for us as a church? Perhaps at one extreme you see that, yes, of course, God has got a plan for creation, kind of ultimately there's a plan for our salvation, but kind of on a day-to-day basis, he pretty much leaves us to get on with things. Yeah, he may choose to intervene, as Lester was saying, answering our prayers if they are expeditious to his plan and purpose. Great word of the day, expeditious. Thank you, Lester. But, you know, if it is in line with his plans and purposes. But pretty much we are left to shape our lives, get on with it, as I say. Or perhaps at the other extreme, you feel that God has a very, very clearly defined plan for our lives that is being worked out through very specific situations and circumstances and events that demonstrate his sovereign rule and reign. Of course, we can choose to go against those plans, can't we? We can choose to disobey, and that always leads to kind of second best or worse. I wonder where you sit on that spectrum of God's involvement and planning and purposes for our daily lives. See, when I read Scripture, I see that it's full of accounts that talk about God's very purposeful intervention pretty much all the time, over big things and over little things. We might expect that from the Bible because it is God's word to us. He's trying to teach us how he works. Just a few examples. You know, take the story of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet who God told to go to this place, Nineveh, and Jonah wasn't having any of it to begin with. Right? And God had to send a storm, and he had to send a big fish to get Jonah back on track. And eventually, Jonah followed and made sure that God's plan was fulfilled. then in the New Testament, I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus happened to meet this Samaritan woman at a well and had a conversation with her that led to her coming to an understanding of who Jesus was, but not only that, spreading that good news to many others. I don't think that was a coincidence. It seems to me that Scripture is full of examples like this, every step of the way that God's plan and purposes is being unfolded. And certainly I think for Joseph, the outworking of a divine plan is very clearly seen, as we see Joseph being transformed from someone who was rather a spoiled shepherd boy to begin with, to become second in command of the most powerful nation on earth at that time. Just look at some of the journey that he went on. So he was given this special coat by his father, and that led to a lot of jealousy amongst his brothers. That eventually led to him being sold to some Midianites, and he eventually ended up in Egypt. He was sold to Potiphar, who happened to be captain of the guard, the prison guard. If it wasn't that he'd ended up in Potiphar's household, he wouldn't have been subject to the plans of Potiphar's wife. He wouldn't have had to scarper, but he ended up being accused of trying to do various things and ended up in prison. If he hadn't ended up in prison, he wouldn't have encountered the cupbearer and the baker. If they hadn't had dreams, they wouldn't have been able to pass the message on to Pharaoh. And if Pharaoh hadn't had dreams, he wouldn't have encountered Joseph and ended up in charge. Can you see that all along, even though these events and things may not have been particularly nice for Joseph to encounter, a plan was being worked through that ended up with Joseph exactly in the place where God intended him to be. Now I wonder, what about our everyday lives? What about us today? Do we see that same kind of thing happen? And how do we feel when perhaps those plans are not maybe in line with the kind of plans and purposes we might like to have for our lives? What happens when it leads to things like sickness or redundancy or bereavement or disappointment? What's our reaction? These were all the things that kind of Joseph went through. How do we face them? So for me, I think God has a clearly defined plan. And I look back on my life and I see the things that have gone on. I see that from the time when I came to know Jesus as my Savior, age 6, through the friends I made on the way, through my marriage, my children, my church life and all related activities, and now onto the voluntary roles that I'm engaged in, I can point to many incidences where God has clearly been directing my paths. Do you know what? There's been times when I've tried to go against that. There's been times when I've pushed back and said, do you know what? I don't really want to do that. But always, he's kind of pulled me back in line. Yes, I see there's a bigger plan as well. You know, we're told in Scripture that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But until that time comes, what is the plan that he has for us? I very much hold on to this verse from Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. What a fantastic promise that is. But in the same breath, I don't believe that means that every step of the way our plans are irrevocably mapped out for us. A couple of weeks ago, I was through this talk, and a thought suddenly came to me, and I thought, right, I mustn't forget that. So I got my notebook and pen out and began to write it down. And the pen wasn't working. So I was, you know, as you do, kind of frantically scribbling away on the paper to try and get the ink flowing. And my wife, Emma, saw me, and she said, John, if you're writing something down about your sermon, maybe God's trying to tell you something. Maybe it was, I don't know. But, do you know, sometimes the ink just runs out. And we've got to be careful not to read, things into every single situation and see, the pen's run out, therefore God's telling me not to say that. Sometimes he does work in that way, but we've somehow got to get that balance right. Yeah, sometimes the ink just runs out of the pen. Okay, so trying to work out what is God's plan and what are just things that are going on in life can be tricky. And I want to come back to that a little bit later on, but I just want to spend a little bit of time looking at this story of Joseph and his brothers. Okay, so from the brothers' perspective, first of all, it's kind of interesting that they were, I think, a little bit blinkered to what was going on. They should have seen the signs. They were witnesses to the dreams that Joseph had. There was a clear message there that Joseph was going to be elevated to a point of leadership. And they saw before their very eyes that being fulfilled. They saw God's provision in being rescued, in effect, from the famine. They saw that despite everything that they'd done to Joseph, that he welcomed them back as part of the family. You'd like to think that they saw this as a sign from God and a good, positive thing. And yet here they are, worried about what's going to happen and planning their own scheme of how they're going to kind of manage the situation. And perhaps it's not surprising because they've been on quite a roller coaster of emotions through this journey. And really, they are putting their kind of human eyes on things and expecting Joseph to want to bring revenge. So they send this pleading message to Joseph, and which basically boils down to, Dad said this. Now, it's not clear whether Jacob, his dad, did actually say that. It doesn't mention anywhere in the text that Jacob was trying to protect his brothers. He may have said, but it doesn't say that. So let's assume, for sake of argument, that the brothers are scheming in their minds, because they've been scheming all along, so it's not out of character, that they were trying to manipulate the situation. And it's a kind of human, natural thing to do, isn't it? I admit when I was younger, and I'm sorry because my mum's probably listening online and maybe she doesn't know this, but when we were young, we used to play this trick with our parents, right? When we wanted something, we knew who to ask. If we wanted an ice cream, we'd always ask mum, okay? Because dad would always say no. And if one of them would say no, we would say, oh, but mum said we could. Just hoping they wouldn't actually check up. Right, it's human nature. We're like that, aren't we? And I think the brothers were probably on pretty safe ground because Jacob had already passed away at this point. So Joseph couldn't check up and say, "Dad, did you really say this?" They were trying to, in my opinion, manipulate the situation a little bit. I wonder, do we ever manipulate the situation with God? Have you ever found yourself saying, God, if only you'll allow this to happen, or if only you'll do this, then I will. Yeah. Do you ever do that? I think if we're honest, sometimes that's what our prayers are like, aren't they? We want to kind of inject our views of plans and purposes onto God's eternal will. But for the most part, that's not how it works. Because there's nothing that we can do that will make God love us anymore. There's nothing that we can do that will make God love us any less either. There's only one instance that I can think of in the Bible where God has this kind of negotiation with us. And that's in Malachi chapter 3. And it's about bringing the whole tithe into the storeroom. And he says this, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. test me in this, says God. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there'll not be enough room to store it. Hear God saying, you know, this is my intent, but test me, you know. Bring what I ask of you and just see. So I think in most cases, God just wants to welcome us unconditionally, but also he wants us to submit everything that we have, bring the whole tithe into the storeroom and just wait and see what happens. But generally, it's not about what we've done or who we are, but what he's done for us. Now, as I read through this story of the brothers, what they were doing, it struck me that there was an awful lot of similarity, I don't know if you noticed, between this story and the parable of the prodigal son. Did you notice that? So, the parables are, the brothers had left Joseph for dead in that pit, if you remember. The prodigal son, in doing what he did, effectively said to his father, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. I'm off. The brothers found themselves starving because of the famine. The prodigal son was starving in the pigsty, just wanting to, longing to have food, but all he could do was eat the pods that were there for the pig. The brothers planned a speech very carefully to try and manipulate Joseph's view. The prodigal son planned a speech to give to his father to try and get him to be welcomed back. The brothers said, we're your slaves, to Joseph. The prodigal son came back to his father intending to say, take me on as one of your hired servants. The brothers were welcomed back unconditionally by Joseph. The prodigal son was welcomed back unconditionally as a son by his father. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, the reason I mention that is not to try and be kind of smart and draw any clever parallels, but just to say that I think God's plans and his purposes are woven right throughout his word. And the message that God's trying to get across is that no matter whether we try and follow our own plans, however scheming we are, however much we go away from him, he just wants to welcome us back. His plans are sovereign. His plans are the best for us. He has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. That, I think, is what God is trying to say through those two parallel messages. And then when we look at Joseph, remember what Joseph did when he heard that message from his brothers. It says he wept. I wonder why he wept. Now, on a number of occasions, there's parallels being drawn between Joseph and the life of Jesus, trying to draw things out. And there's two occasions that I think of when about Jesus and when he wept. Can anybody remember what they were? Two occasions. The death of Lazarus, yes. Wept over Jerusalem, yeah. And I think they are really significant. Now, Joseph, what did he do when his father died? He wept. We see that in Genesis 51. When he received this message from his brothers, he wept. Jesus wept out of compassion for loss. Jesus understands our pain. He understands when the things, the outworking of plans and purposes hurt us. He understands about that bereavement. He understands about loss. He understands about disappointment. It's very clear. But he also weeps when we don't see the plans and purposes that he has. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he was on his way to the crucifixion. He looked over Jerusalem and he saw these people, God's people, who completely missed all the prophecies, all that was told about Jesus. They'd missed the significance of the miracles of all Jesus' teaching. They missed who he was. Joseph wept over his brother because they missed what God was doing through the situation. And his response was, "You intended to harm me, but God intends this for good." Okay. Going back to that question I posed earlier, how on earth do we know whether something is a part of God's plan or just a part of the way that the world goes? How do we avoid getting so wrapped up in picking out every little thing and saying, "Oh, well, God must be saying this through me or through this particular event"? This is not an exhaustive list, but these are things that I have found helpful in my journey of trying to discern what is God's will or not. First of all, confirmation through events. There are many occasions when I have found doors opened and doors closed that either enable me to go and do something or stop me from going and doing something. And when I've earnestly prayed that God show me the direction, I found those doors opened and closed really very clearly. So if I think we earnestly pray that God's will be done, he will put blockers or enablers in our way. Second thing is confirmation from others. Get people around you who you trust that are listening to God's voice and see what they're saying through the situation. You have to be really careful about this because this is a potential ground for manipulation. "Oh, God said this, that I should tell you that this is important." We can manipulate things for our own situation, but seek the counsel of people who you know that are wise Christians. And only follow their advice if, third one, it confirms what God's word is saying. God will never disagree with his word. He'll never tell us to do things that are counter to that. The most important thing I've found is surrender to his will. Put our plans aside. Right? Remember that verse from Malachi? "Test me in this. Bring the whole offering into the storehouse." Right? If we lay our all before him, I think he will speak to us and direct our paths. And then the last one that I found is really helpful is having this kind of inner peace with situations. Have you ever gone and tried to do something and you just feel, "Oh, this doesn't feel comfortable"? Right? I take that. Sonia knows this. It's the wiggly worm inside, yeah? God's Holy Spirit saying, "Do you know, this is not quite right. This is not where you should be." But when God gives us peace, despite what's going on, we can take it. It's from him. You know, I find it so encouraging when I hear of people who are going through really difficult times. They might be really ill or really struggling, and yet they can still say, "I'm at peace." That for me is a clear indication that this is God's will. And you know, the brothers, they had seen pretty much the same that Joseph had seen. They'd encountered the dreams, you know, the fulfillment of that, and yet they were trying to manipulate their own situation. They were not at peace. They were really in fear of what was going to happen to them. Joseph, he spent time in a pit. He was accused. He spent years in the prison. And yet he was at peace because he knew he was walking in the paths of God. He was clinging on to the promises that we had. He was clear that God would work out his plans and purposes. We're about to go into a time of communion and celebrate and remember the crucifixion of Jesus. It's something that man intended for harm. Man intended to kill Jesus and defeat the Son of God, but God intended it for good. to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Let's praise God for his sovereign and unshakable plans and purposes. Amen.